panel. Because this is a meeting on behalf of the council, I should firstly, on behalf of the council, acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. Next, it is appropriate when we commence these meetings for the panel members to introduce ourselves, and we will proceed to do that now. I'm David Lloyd. I chair the panel. I'm a lawyer. I'm a KC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court, a former acting judge of the Supreme Court, and currently an adjunct professor of law at Western Sydney University. All right, Ms. Truman.
Hello, my name's Lisa Truman. I'm an architect by background and a heritage specialist. I work as a heritage advisor to government agencies and private developers, and as an expert witness in the Land and Environment Court on heritage matters. I have a background both in private practice and in government.
Thank you. Mrs. Taylor?
Mary Lynn Taylor. I'm a planning lawyer. I have practiced in the Land and Environment Court since it began in 1980. I sit on a number of these panels and commenced the first local planning panel in Liverpool many years ago.
And finally, we have a community representative somewhere. I thought we had one.
We do. Is there? Is Alan Barnes is there?
That told me I'm not working again.
Yes, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name's Alan Barnes. I'm an Aboriginal man, which is partly why I'm here. I have been employed by the Inner West Council in another role, and I'm still involved with local matters for the council. I have a degree, master's degree in Aboriginal studies, my first and only degree. And apart from representing the local people as such, I'm required to represent the Aboriginal community in particular.
All right. So with that, we can now proceed on to the formal agenda. Next is declarations of interest, and there are none. Next is item one. Item one is a standing item, namely a report to the panel listing pending matters that will come before the panel in the future, and that is for information, which is noted. Item number two is the proposed development at 23 Gordon Street, Roselle. And I don't think we yes, we do have a person representing the applicant who wishes to speak on that. Mr. Panetta. Is Mr. Panetta available?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we have you online.
Yeah.
You will have seen the recommendation here. It is a recommendation, recommendation for approval, not refusal. It's been recommended subject to conditions. Are you happy with those conditions, Mr. Panetta?
We're happy with the recommendation. I'm just here to answer any questions if there are any.
All right. Does the panel have any questions of Mr. Panetta?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
And Ms. Truman?
No, thank you.
No. All right. Well, thank you for that. The panel is minded to adopt the recommendation, and it will do so unanimously.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we move on to item number three, which is the proposed development at 65 Tillock Street, Haberfield, within the Haberfield conservation area, recommended for refusal on various grounds, namely non-compliance with the various heritage controls. We have no one registered to speak, but I'll ask if anyone is online who has an interest in that matter. If not, then I think I'm correct in saying that the panel is of the view that the recommendation to refuse should be adopted, Am I correct, panel members?
Yes.
Correct.
Correct. Correct.
All correct?
Yes.
All correct. So that recommendation will be adopted unanimously. Next, we move on to item number 4. This is a review of a determination to delete a condition relating to a proposed carport at a heritage item, number 7 King Street, Ashfield. We have two people who wish to address us on that matter, Mr. Hegarty and Ms. Randall. Do we have either of you online?
Yes, we're both here together.
You're both here together. You have both sent in written submissions justifying your reasons for deleting the condition, which would mean that you want the carport as shown on the original plans, as I understand it, that is in line with the front alignment of the house. Is that correct?
It's not quite correct. We want it as originally lodged, but that line at the front corner of the driveway is not in line with the front line of the house, and that's probably the major point of contention. Immediately adjacent to that corner, there is a buttress. What's the correct term? Mm-hmm. A buttress that is a further half metre, and on top of it, there's a roof line that extends a further 1 metre. So, in fact, the front line of the house is about 1.5 metres forward of that corner where the carport is proposed to be sited.
Have you given any thought to the placement of the carport immediately in front of the garage, which would make it clear of the heritage elements of the existing building?
If it was immediately in front of the garage, it still has the issue of covering windows.
But as I understand it, the window it would cover is a laundry window, am I correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right, I'll ask the panel whether they... do you wish to add to what you put in writing?
The only thing I'd like to express is my regret and frustration that at no point during this entire process, where multiple people have determined to deny this, has anyone thought fit to come and stand on the site and spend 5 minutes looking at where it would go, because my belief is that the logic of where we have cited it is absolutely self-evident when it's in context. And the other point I'd make is that although you can see plans that give you the general sense of layout, what they don't show in any detail is the soft plantings around where we're going to put it. If you look at the plans, you'll see that the garden bed in front of the buttress actually projects out into the driveway, and it has mature planting in it, and there are mature camellias planted on the southern side. So, in fact, if the carport was sited where we propose, it would immediately be softened by the fact that it's surrounded by mature plantings. And this has been frustrating and expensive and stressful, and at no point has anyone seen fit to come and look at the site. And I'd like my disappointment on that from, you know, the administrative perspective of taking things into account that should be taken into account. Well, but other than that, I rely, I guess, on the submissions that we've lodged.
Well, I don't think it's correct to say that no one has been to visit the site. The panel members have.
No one from council visited the site except for erecting a notice to, you know, the notices that get affixed to the front fence. And a junior who wasn't involved in the decision making took some photos way back at the beginning of the process.
Well, I can tell you that we, members of the panel, are now the decision makers here. We have all visited the site and we are familiar with it. And we also have in our possession the heritage's impact assessment that you have supplied, and we have not had an opportunity to read it. Mr. Hegarty, I think, is the author of that report.
That's correct.
It's you, Mr. Hegarty. Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So you are you an architect?
No, I'm not. I'm a designer and builder.
All right. Any questions by the panel?
No, thank you.
None from Mrs. Taylor? Yes?
I do. I'm interested. I actually have been to the site and taken photographs. So just having a look at the photograph that I took. Can I just ascertain the proposed front of the carport aligns with the front facade, but the element that you're talking about is the bay that protrudes from the projecting gable, is that correct?
Yes.
But it does correct. Align with that front wall at the corner, is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And you wouldn't, and Mr. Lloyd had talked about having the carport at the back, which would cover your laundry window, which I guess is less important than the lounge window that you've got at the moment. That's not acceptable to you, or
it's
you having have it's you considered
still,
that?
It still covers the window, so it still renders the room dark. It in practical terms, if you have visited the site, and I'm sorry, in the written advice I got from council, it said none of you were visiting because of COVID. So that's the advice I was given, was that the panel weren't visiting the site. But if you've seen the site, if we put it at the back, from a livability point of view, there are gates partway down the driveway that keep large dogs that we have inside. So sticking it right at the back means we come through the heritage gates that I've installed at the front. We get out of the car and open the other gates and get through and shut those and herd dogs back and then get down the back.
And also move cars
to do that, and probably we have to move the charge point if it goes right to the back. From a livability point of view, if the insistence was that it goes there, I probably won't build it there. I'll consider whether I take this further. But no, up the back is not suitable. And I really struggle with the idea that something of the scale that we've proposed in the context of the building that surrounds it is going to dominate or detract. It's not touching the heritage item, so it can be removed at any point in time. And its scale is such that it won't dominate it. And your photo should show that I do have camellias and not camellias on the garden, on the northern side, but plantings that will come in front of the posts, etc., of the carport. It's more than 1.5 metres back from the predominant building line. It's 1.5 metres back from those front features on the house, the steps and pedestals and the window. So I seriously challenge the idea that this, from a heritage point of view, is detrimental when it keeps this away from any of the windows and any of the symmetry that is the features of the rest of that southern facade.
All right.
Could I say something? The other issue is that you mentioned placing it in front of the lounge room window. That is not...
No, laundry
room. The lounge room window. Somebody mentioned the lounge room window. If we're not prepared to put it in front of the lounge room window, putting it in front of the lounge room window will create a problem with the Building Code of Australia for light. I've spoken to a certifier about this, and he's told me specifically that if we place it there, then more than likely it won't be approved. If we do place it there, as council suggests that we could do, we will have a fight when the carport is finished being built. We will have to go and argue the point as to why it should be approved at that point, because it doesn't meet the code as it stands. That's one thing. Building it further back at the rear of the property also is totally inconvenient and doesn't assist the family at all. This is a house with 8 bedrooms in it. There's quite a few people here. There's a lot of cars here. Putting it at the rear just quite basically takes it to the point where all the cars need to go onto the street, be able to charge an electric vehicle. The convenient place to put it is right at the front. It's or where we want to place it. It suits the purposes of the family, of a large family with numbers of cars, and it is definitely the most convenient. And surely that should come into it also. And like Helen said, I don't think it certainly doesn't have a great impact on the heritage item as as to the scale of the build of the carport and the size. I don't see moving it back the 1 metre to cover the lounge room window. I don't see what the difference there is if it is where we would like to place it. It doesn't seem to be a great deal of difference in either way. And certainly as far as convenience and amenity for the family is concerned, and for the heritage item, respect of the heritage item, the best place to put it is where we have it originally. And when we started designing it and building it, that was the things, those were the reasons that came into placing it where it was. It's easy to say, or it's easy to suggest, oh, you just stick it at the rear, but it is not at all convenient for anybody. And it will just, this is a street which has a lot of traffic, a lot of parking issues, and it certainly will not assist anybody by placing it at the rear and putting more cars onto the street, which is what it is going to do.
How many cars does the family have?
Five. At the moment. And a couple of children who are away at uni, so they, during term time, are living elsewhere, but outside term time, which is a substantial amount of the year, they're here as well.
I see.
And they're not allowed to have street parking because it's time parking, and because we have a long driveway, we're not entitled to any parking permits.
All right, any questions arising from that by the panel?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. Well, we will just have to take on board what's been put to us and consider it and determine your application. I have to say this, what you have sought is a review of a determination made by the council or someone in the council to impose condition 2A. And you have sought a review of that condition. All we can do is either confirm the determination, which is to impose the condition, or change the determination, which is what you are seeking. So that's all we can do here. We can't direct you, for example, to place the carport somewhere else on the property. It's either a yes or a no to your application as I see it. But we'll have to discuss this amongst ourselves and weigh everything up, and we'll have to publish our decision in due course. So...
Can I ask you something?
Yes, please.
Do you review the heritage controls which are in the DCP and the LEP?
They are all relevant.
Do you follow them? Because it's quite clearly says that the front, the existing pattern setbacks to the heritage item should be taken into account. And that refers to the buildings on either side. Now, the buildings on either, actually everything in the street is at least 2 metres forward of this heritage item.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to be taken into account at all. If you actually read the general controls and read them closely, it seems to me that we are meeting those controls.
All right. Well, what we will do, as I said, is we will no doubt read your heritage impact statement, reread it.
If you could read the statement that I put in, that's the one yes, that we've just recently put in.
And we have your written statement as well. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
And my written statement and addresses Helen's that same
point. Helen's written statement also. Because when I wrote the heritage impact statement, I had no idea that it was going to come this far. You know, I'm writing a statement, and it's not the first statement that I've written. I've written probably 20 or 30 of them over the years. I've been doing this for 30 years. So even though I'm not a licensed heritage architect, I do understand the implications of what's going on. And not only that, not only do I design them, but I also build them. So I'm aware of the complications with Queen Anne, particularly Queen Anne buildings, and the complications with renovating them and doing the structural work involved with them.
Well, we are not uninformed, I can tell you, because
thank you.
Yep. We do have a registered heritage architect as a member of this panel. And we are, as I said, we are not uninformed about heritage matters.
I just have one question. I accept that you need to take this and make a determination outside of this meeting, but can you give me some indication of how long I'm likely to wait to hear?
Within a few days.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you for your consideration.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. So now we can move on to item number 5. This is the proposed development at 23 Darling Street, Balmain East. And as with the previous matter, there are two persons who wish to address the panel, both from the adjoining property. So let me see. Is Olya
Vinogradova.
Thank you very much. I needed that assistance. So you live at number 25?
That's correct.
All right. Yes, please proceed.
My main concern is that I have been living as a neighbor with 23 for many years, and I could testify that people who live there, they do not use anything except a ground floor, which adjacent garage. They do not use their normal kitchen or anything. All the cooking, all their lives happening adjacent to garage. There are several times a week when they cook barbecue on the open fire, which actually that barbecue, the very primitive metal barbecue, is actually situated in garage. So what they are asking to do is actually to make an additional room. The garage is not used as a garage. They parked outside. This garage, it's a sitting room where families spend time. So I'm opposing of that application on the ground that I know that this so-called garage is not a garage. It is an additional room in a house, and there is no any fire protection there. One wall of this so-called garage is actually our wall. There is no any other insulation or fire protection measure in place. So I'm not very happy. I'm very concerned. Like every night I'm going home thinking whether the house is still there because of these barbecues going on all the time without any consideration of the fire protection, which any modern house would have anyway, and it is a heritage house. So this is my main concern, but probably the other objector will have other concerns.
Any questions by the panel?
No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, Mr. Trevor Valere.
That's right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yes. The alterations that are proposed here are alterations to work which has been done about 2 years ago. The DA for this work was put in while we were on holidays. They put it in through stealth. We have a habit of taking January off each year. This DA was put in the 22nd, and the time for complaints or comment had passed by the time we got back from holidays. The backyard is surrounded by walls on three sides, and these walls are 1.28 metres high. They're very, very high block walls. Far higher than is necessary. The proposal is to put one of these block walls right along our boundary now, which is going to block light to our lawn. It's going to enclose us and make us feel confined. It's going to stop light going into our light well. We have an open light well, as this place is supposed to have, and we need light in there. It rain goes down there. The place needs to dry up and need sun and light into that area. I believe that what is happening in this proposal is these people are trying to get a new room, greater FSR by stealth. They left this an opening along our boundary, so the qualified as open area, and now they want to enclose it and make use of it as a room. As my wife pointed out, they live their life in the ground floor room adjacent to this. They don't seem to live in any other room. I suppose they sleep in other rooms. And my view is that they intend to expand into this area and use that as additional living area. I object on that basis. And I think they want this very high wall around, so we can't look into their living area. There's no reason for this wall. I've spoken to the client's builder, and he said, well, they need this floor, this glass floor they're going to put in to cover the opening is trafficable. People will be able to walk on it. So he needs something to stop people falling over into my place. And I said, well, you only need a railing. They have an existing railing there that can be brought to the boundary to cover a very small slot where people can fall down and we can retain our life. That seems to me to be a sensible alternative. We don't need to have a 1.28 meter concrete wall going past us and blocking our sun and light out. I also don't like the idea of people doing things by stealth. I believe they got this approval by stealth while we weren't away, and they're going to sneak in a skylight and go and inhabit this floor. They're going to increase the FSR, but the stroke of a pen, I don't think it should be allowed. I think they should, if they want a room, they should go to the council and say, we want a room, and not try and achieve it by stealth. We'd like to maintain the amenity in a house. We had a nice outlook. We still don't have the walls that they have built so far are on two sides.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Okay, the walls that are there present are remote from us. This new wall will be right on our boundary, will block out sun through our picket fence, stop us from maintaining a lot of the outside of our property, and it's absolutely unnecessary. Thank you. We recommend that you disapprove this application.
All right, any questions by the panel? Yes, Mrs. Taylor.
Mr. Blair, I wonder if you have read the report of the council that we have received.
I probably haven't, no.
Because clearly the council has taken into account your concerns and they have responded to them within the report. So you haven't missed out.
And what can you tell me succinctly what the report recommends?
Well, the report recommends, for example, that the wall on the boundary be only, 1 metre high, which is about a similar height to your fence.
Yes, we wanted, towards the back of our property, our wall is only 600 millimetres higher than theirs. So I think, so they will have a blockwork wall 600 millimetres higher than our wall. They don't really need a wall. A fence would suffice. In fact, the builder said, there's an existing fence on the side of this void in the deck. He said to me, I could simply move part of that fence across and that would achieve the aim. He doesn't need a solid blockwork wall.
He doesn't need it, but I want you to know that the council has considered it and has imposed a condition on the approval in their recommendation to us to make the wall smaller.
So have you considered the FSR? Ramifications of closing this skylight in. They've increased the habitable area of the house.
Well, we will consider that later today.
Can I just add one little thing just to put it in a picture? The wall we're discussing is between us and the harbour. So it's not just a wall, it is really, even if it's a several centimeters, when we are sitting on our back right now, we can see the water views. With that wall, even if it's like you said, 40 centimeters larger, when you're sitting down, it will obliterate our views. That's all, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to that. Thank you, Mr. Valier. That's been dealt with in the council report as well. So you would be advised always to read the report.
Okay, thank you. We will.
All right. Any other questions by the panel?
No.
No?
No.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we can now move on to item number six. 237 Marrickville Road, Marrickville. Conversion of an upper level commercial floor space into a dwelling, recommended for refusal. There is no one registered to speak on that matter, but I'll just inquire as to whether there is anyone online who has an interest in that one. No? All right. Well, I think I'm correct in saying that the panel is prepared to adopt the recommendation for refusal for the various reasons set out in the assessment report. Am I correct?
Correct.
All right. So that will be the determination of the panel, which is unanimous. So now we can move on to 47 Junior Street, Leichhardt. These are proposed alterations and additions to the rear of an existing dwelling. There are no objections or no submissions, and no one is registered to speak. It is recommended for approval with conditions. Again, I'll inquire as to whether there is anyone here who has an interest in that matter. No? All right. Then am I correct in assuming that the panel members are prepared to adopt the recommendation for approval with conditions? Panel?
Yes.
All right. So that will be the determination of the panel. That was item number six. Item number seven. Item number eight is the proposed redevelopment of 425 New Canterbury Road, Dulwich Hill. These are alterations and additions to an existing building for use as mixed-use development. Recommended for approval with a deferred commencement consent. It is within the Dulwich Hill Commercial Heritage Conservation Area, so conservation area considerations have to be taken into account. We have two registered speakers. Firstly, the applicant, Mr. McNamara. Is Mr. McNamara here?
Yes, thank you. Both myself and Tony Owen, the architect, are both here, mainly just to answer any questions that might arise, should there be questions of the panel or any objectors. But otherwise, just to explain that the adaptive reuse of this building was a complex one in some sense because of its existing location and use of the structure. We did meet with council on a pre-lodgement basis back in August of 2021 and subsequently with council's architectural excellence and design review panel before lodging the development application. We subsequently had two further meetings with that panel before finalising a set of plans that were satisfactory both to the panel and the council officers undertaking the assessment. But we're happy to answer any questions that might arise from your review of the report.
Are you happy with all the proposed conditions of consent?
Yeah, we're happy with those conditions.
All right. Questions by the panel?
I don't have any questions.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Are there any objectors to speak to this afternoon?
None are registered to speak.
All right. Thank you. I don't have any questions. Having said that, can I change my mind and ask Mr. McNamara if I understand that the council requires that any antennae for telephones be placed, I think, in the middle of the roof. Is that to occur, Mr. McNamara?
Since seeing that recommendation coming out of the panel meeting, we've started making inquiries with those authorities as to, you know, how best to undertake that exercise, whether it's within our ability to do so under the current leases, et cetera, but also, you know, if we were to reset those leases, remove or sort of relocate that infrastructure further into the centre of the roof, et cetera. But we're working through those at the moment and intend to try to honour that condition of consent.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Further. No, thank you.
No.
No.
So, again, just to make sure you are content with condition A, which requires design changes in the proposed conditions of consent.
As the architect, I can respond. We're content with those conditions, yes. In fact, we're supportive of them.
All right. Any questions of the architect?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. So the recommendation is for approval. I think I'm correct in saying that the panel is prepared to adopt the recommendation and the recommended conditions of consent. Am I correct, panel?
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. All right. So that will be the formal determination, which will be issued within a few days. So we can now move on to the final item number nine. Item number nine is the restoration works to a dilapidated warehouse building at 31 Chalder Street, Marrickville, recommended for approval. There are no registered speakers on this item. But again, I'll ask, is anyone here online who has an interest in that matter? No, if not, then I'll ask the panel, is the panel prepared to adopt the recommendation and the recommended conditions?
Yes.
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 Yes. All right. So that will be the determination, recommendation adopted. And again, it is unanimous. So that concludes the public meeting. We will now adjourn to carefully consider the matters that we are yet to determine, which includes, of course, the development at 7 King Street, Ashfield, and at 23 Darling Street, Balmain East. We'll have to talk about that, both of those amongst ourselves, before coming to a determination. So I can say to the public, thank you for your input.